Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Penance, and sometimes I can be a real witch.
It's Puck, the doomed trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 15, In Desperate Need, Issue 2, Chemical Solutions. On the cover, Frequency, Penance, and Puck sit in a high school chem lab wearing lab coats, safety goggles, and gloves. A beaker full of a tumultuous green liquid froths in Penance's hands. Frequency stirs it skeptically while Puck scrambles to find some way to control the potion. Down in the corner is a special glossy sticker of the Falcon logo wreathed in flames. Embossed letters proclaim this issue is part of the Falcon Down event.
So last session, our heroes started tracking down a mutant by the name of Sherry Waters, who appears to have some kind of infection power. And she's been stealing a bunch of medicine and casing a house. And a lot of that is knowledge from a dark vision that Puck had. But she basically broke into a hospital, stole a bunch of stuff, ran out, and caused these kind of green burns on people's body. The team split up in different directions. And where this comic starts out is with Frequency. So, you were going to go to a supercomputer.
I was.
That is in your new mutant freedom group base.
Yeah, we don't have a very good name yet, but
yeah,
that's okay.
I think they're still floating things.
Yeah. I've been more focused with getting this computer wired up.
Yeah, yeah. We are at your base.
So we're at this little... You'd call it a base. It doesn't look like a base.
Okay.
We're set up. It's an apartment. It's an apartment in the Bash.
Okay.
But it takes up like an entire floor of the building.
Okay.
But there's nothing in there. Like it's a giant room that's the size of the building with like support pillars.
Yeah.
There aren't really any walls.
Okay. Open and, concept.
Yeah. And there's just like, so there's a couple of like beds and a couch and a little kitchenette area in like really far corners, but it's a really vacant, open, sparse space.
Okay.
But up against one wall.
Except.
Almost the entire wall is supercomputer.
Amazing.
Monitors and lights. And I've really come to know, the player have come to know Ben recently. There's lots of just LED strips for no reason.
Nice.
But it lights up in cool ways.
I think your siblings would appreciate that also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's large. It takes up a lot of space. There's a few keyboards.
For hacking.
So
there's like three keyboards. So you can put six people on to hack.
They probably all do the same thing. They're all wired. It's just cool to have multiple keyboards.
Yeah.
Some of it is just, it's not necessary.
Okay. Well, also, I mean, if it is taking up a full wall, it might make sense to have multiple keyboards just so that you don't have to walk another 20, 30 feet.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah.
But so Ben is there. There's sort of a few of the members of the gang
are,
like, hanging out. And when Ben walks in, they, like, get kind of excited, like they're about to do something.
Yeah.
I'm like, just chill. We got nothing going on. I'm just working on a side project.
Yeah.
Don't worry. This isn't... And I'm feeding the list of those five different compounds into the system, trying to see if I can get any hits on manufacturing locations or storage locations. Where might someone find these things? And unfortunately, most of the results are the hospital.
Yeah, that's definitely that's the kind of the first level of results.
Yeah.
And now we're going to have you unleash your powers.
Yeah.
Because hacking into the mainframe, getting into pharmaceutical companies, that's all.
And so this is roll plus
freak.
Freak. That's a 10.
Good news.
My freak is 0.
How is your freak 0?
Because I'm not a freak. But I rolled a 10.
Normal kid.
Okay, he's just a normal kid with mutant powers.
Yep.
So yeah, so on a 10 plus, you do it.
I do it. Yeah. I do it good.
Yep.
This is different. Like, this looks differently than it does from when I usually unleash my powers. Because now it's the supercomputer doing a lot of the work.
Yeah.
But so I'm like tapping away, clicking away.
It's not like a little bit of knowledge that's difficult to parse. It's like huge screens lighting up and like logos of all the different pharmaceutical companies in the area and like every pharmacy, whatever they have of it, every hospital, and it all pops up. And it's just in this like beautiful overlay of just everything that you could possibly need.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Something that pops up is one item on the list, just because I need to give it a name, is diphosphorus pentoxide. It's a stabilizing agent.
Okay.
Commonly used in things, like a binder and a stabilizer agent.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things necessary to, you know, create this whole compound that she's working on. And there's actually like a manufacturing facility in Protean City.
Nice. Cool. Callaway is a major manufacturer of this stuff. Callaway produces a bunch of this. It's in the city because this energy company needs it for God only knows.
Yes. They've got a lot of algae-based power production.
Algae-based power production.
Perfect. Or so they claim.
Yeah. And they probably are using it for that.
Yeah.
But you know, who knows? They've got their hands in so many pots.
But so they definitely like synthesize it, incorporate it, store it, you know, store it there, and that would also be a good site
to get some. Yeah. If one were in the market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or looking to acquire some through non-financial means.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Okay.
So
we get that pulled up on Google Maps for a moment just to have the little dot on the screen that shows the city. And at that point, one of your mutant compatriots comes up. Codename Faye. Is their mutation visible or can they pass?
They can pass.
Okay. So they come up to you and they give kind of like a little kind of joking salute.
Yeah.
Because I imagine you're not running this. My guess is most of the cells are running pretty military at this point. Definitely where Hermosavita is running things is very military. But this, my guess is it isn't.
This isn't, no.
Does she know you by banner frequency?
Definitely knows me by frequency.
Okay.
And I've probably said multiple times, call me Ben.
Okay. She'll call you Ben.
Just like everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she gives you like a little, you know, head tap, a salute kind of thing as like a little joking thing and says, hey, Ben.
Yeah. What's up, Faye?
So something kind of weird was showing up. We've been seeing these ads popping up suddenly. I don't know if I know you're in the middle of something, so I'll make it quick. There's like this church that's telling people they're going to teach you how to use your powers, and that like if you've got big mutation powers things to go to them and they'll help you out. I don't know if that's something that it's not something that we're running, but you know, big mutant issues.
Where are you seeing this?
They've got ads up on the subway. They've been running some computer ads.
Huh. What's the name of it?
And she kind of like looks around for a minute and calls out to someone like, what's the name of that church? And, Elias is his mutation obvious?
Yes.
Okay. What's his mutation look like? You don't need to decide what it is. Just give us a physical description thing.
Well, if it's an obvious mutation, you need to come up with what it is.
No, you don't. Nightcrawler can teleport, and he looks blue and has fur.
Well, I'm saying his actual mutation is obvious.
Yeah.
That's the result of that.
Yeah.
Oh man, now that's just what's stuck in my head, but I don't want that. No, it's fine. It's fine. Elias has two heads.
Okay.
Oof. Rough.
But they both go by Elias.
Perfect. Yeah.
Two heads are better than one.
So definitely, he definitely has speech bubbles that have 2 points, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the double speech bubble thing. And he calls out, the appointed church.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
And now we're going to go ahead and jump over to you.
Yeah.
So you told the team that you were going to go check on this person.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
Or vaguely implied that.
Vaguely implied that. Is that where you're going?
No.
Okay. Where are you going?
John is going to go talk to Lunar Lens.
Okay. Are you calling her or are you going physically to her?
He's going there. He knows that Ben is going back to his other team.
Yeah. His other team.
His other team.
Yeah.
And he knows that Sage is going to the university to talk to someone. So he knows that neither of them are going to be at Peacoy.
Okay.
So he's going to Peacoy.
Okay.
And so unless you feel otherwise,
no.
I think the scene should just start in her office.
Yeah.
With her entering.
And it says, like, finding Sherry. It has, like, the chasing Sherry Waters or not. This is Peacoy.
Yeah.
Wait, who did this? Editorial.
So the scene opens with Lunar Lens entering her office.
Yeah.
And John is just sitting there in the dark, probably on top of a bookshelf. With his costume on.
Yeah.
But he has the mask pulled off. So he still has the hood with the antlers.
Okay.
But he's just holding the mask in his hands.
Okay. And we know that Lunar Lens can see in the dark.
Yeah.
So she walks over to her desk and, like, clearly has seen Puck and sits down and just asks, is there a reason the lights are off?
No.
And she just reaches over and clicks on a light, and it's just like, it's just a little desk light, so the entire scene definitely stays mostly dark,
mm-hmm.
with just like the little almost bubble of light that the two of you are in. And she only knows you as Puck.
Yeah.
But now she's seeing your face.
Yeah.
She doesn't know you outside of this, though.
And he would just be like, what would you do if using your powers would kill you?
I would do everything I could to not use my powers. Why are you asking me this?
Even if it meant you couldn't save people? Be a hero?
And there's a scene, there's like a moment where she's just pausing and just looking at you. And she just doesn't blink for a moment as she's kind of processing through what you're saying. And she lowers her head for a moment and then says, I feel like you're cutting almost to the point of this, and so let's go ahead and finish doing that. Is it you or one of your friends?
It's me.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
You're not the first person I've worked with that has had powers that were going to eventually lead to their demise. And so I guess you have a choice. Are your powers going to kill you immediately?
No, not. I mean, it depends. It's not the powers. It's where they're from.
Okay.
The source. And just people keep telling me that I shouldn't keep using them because it will mean that I will go away. But, like, if it means that I can save people, shouldn't I sacrifice myself for the greater good? Isn't that what being a hero is about?
And she pauses for a moment again and then says, did you know that being a roofer is more likely to cause your death than being a police officer?
No.
They aren't saving people's lives necessarily. They're providing comfort, giving us safety, security, shelter. It's an important job, certainly. But if you describe it, most people wouldn't think that it would be worth giving their lives for.
And what if being a roofer meant that sometimes the people whose houses you built roofs on
also died. Not intentionally, but as an accident, as a byproduct, as a, you weren't good enough. You couldn't control your powers well enough.
There are heroes that probably shouldn't use their powers because they're too dangerous. If you had the power to make massive explosions, you could probably stop some crimes, but you'd also hurt people. It might not be worth it. If you can save one person by killing 10, have you done the heroic thing?
Probably not.
So, what I would do is balance what I care about most, the people that are most important to me, and the values that I live up to in my life, against what I would have to give up by using my powers. If you stopped using your powers today, and they couldn't hurt you anymore, and you put your life towards service that helps people in another way, you could still be saving people, and you would still be a hero. I saved far more lives starting this school than I ever did patrolling the street.
And John is going to jump off the bookshelf and just stand and put his mask back on and say, so if I can save people and use my powers, but it will mean that I will die. And the other option is I don't use my powers to save people and I still die. Then I should use my powers to save people.
She definitely doesn't like that conclusion. And like, we get a panel that shows her frowning for a moment. And she says, Puck, are you in danger?
I have been in danger every day. And he kind of thinks, for almost 10 years now.
You are not alone in this city. There are people who are very smart and very skilled and have a lot of resources. If you look for help, you can find it. And you just have to open up to let people know that you need that help. I knew that you were Sage and Ben's friend. I didn't know that you were in danger. And of course, if I knew, I would have reached out to you. But you can be a hero and not have to give up your life. And I think she's shifting your labels there.
Okay.
She's raising your savior and lowering your danger.
Okay, she can't raise my savior.
Okay, so if you don't reject this, then you will mark a condition.
I'm going to reject that.
Okay, cool. Go ahead and roll to reject that.
4.
Okay. On a miss, their words hit you hard, mark a condition, and the GM will adjust your labels.
All right, so I'm going to mark the condition.
Yeah, mark a condition, which is your last condition.
Yep.
So I think that what hits you hard with this is your own rejection of it. That you are saying, no, I have to be dangerous in order to be a hero. I need to walk this line. So I think I'm going to raise your danger and lower your mundane. You don't get to be normal. You have to be dangerous.
Yeah. And also, John has accepted that he was going to have to sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
That so long that would really feel... To have someone tell him that he wouldn't have to would almost not even, like, hit him. Like,
yeah. Sounds good.
Raise my mundane.
Raise danger, lower mundane. I think we get a panel that shows frequency... Texting or call? Or did you say calling?
Messaging in some way, seeing if the other two would want to meet up at Callaway.
Yeah.
And I think before I left, like if it shows me doing that as I'm leaving, I would grab something like off of the desk near the computer.
Nice. Cool.
just something. You don't really see. I just grab it.
So, yeah. So, our next shot is outside of the Callaway Corporation building, which we saw a couple volumes ago. And this is a different artist on it, so I hope this is the same view. But it's kind of like one of those big, modern buildings with very, like, kind of blocky, lots of windows, and, like, nice greenery in front. And the three of you, having arrived in your various ways, including your rad motorcycle.
It's rad.
Yeah.
It seems that there's still, like, one ingredient that if they can get more of it, they can synthesize more of this compound. It seems to be stockpiled here. I'm not sure if we want to try and beat her to it, or if we should
protect it.
Like, and protect it, or should we stay out and see if this person shows up, possibly miss them?
Can we do both?
We can go in and wait.
Yeah, we can do both. Puck, sorry. Maybe I'll have something for you next time. But Sage, you might be able to help us out a bit with this. And I have a tiny little model, like, version of the Callaway drone that I stole last time I was here.
Sweet.
But I've made, like, a smaller pocket-sized version.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And, like, a wrist controller.
Yes.
That has, like, a video feed and, like, rudimentary controls and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And I'm letting you use that.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'll stay out here and run surveillance? I mean,
if you can do, if you want to come in, you can. It's just, you know, I know you're a good tactician person. And, like, Puck, you're great too. Just, I know you can get in there quick. As an aside, I just don't want him to realize that you don't have powers if you don't want him to realize.
You are the nicest and I don't deserve you. Or this cool drone.
Okay. Go ahead and roll that comfort and support.
I rolled a 7.
On hit, they hear you. They mark potential clear condition or shift labels if they open up to you. So if you open up to him, if you, like, show how much this gesture is, like,
yeah, I think helping my, you and stuff like that. I think my eyes, like, well up a little bit and I sort of give him a hug and, like, it's really sweet. It's a sweet thing to do.
Yeah. I think that'll be enough.
Can I lie? Can I be like, yeah, I've been, you know, it's nothing personal. Ben and I have been working on some extra tech together. I'm trying to broaden my scope of powers. And, you know, I know he really likes this thing, so it's cool that he's letting me borrow it.
Yeah, and then we get, like, the panel that shows you said giving him a hug and everything like that. And so now back to the planning. I think we definitely get a panel that shows Frequency and Sage, like, standing near each other in planning mode with Puck a little bit to the side.
So should we distract them, or can you hack the mainframe?
It's tough. They've got some high security. They got a bunch of firewalls.
Well, if I take the drone up outside a window, maybe we can, like, distract them for a minute. And you
Distract. You know, maybe we could, like, take a. I don't want to take a guard out, but we might be able. We may have to take, like, security guard out.
Do you have any, like, smoke bombs? I feel like Sokotoa always has those.
Oh,
like,
yeah, like, I know.
Distractiony.
He's already got them.
So John comes over. And he's not in costume anymore. And he's just like, it's like, I have a guest pass. We can get in.
Wait, what?
Like, my mom runs this company.
What?
What?
Did I ever not mention that? I'm sorry. I thought that's why we were coming here.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not why we were coming here, but, like.
Well, shit, let's just do that.
Sure.
Like, I can bring in, like, a couple guests. Like, we can tell her we're going to visit her. I'm sure she's working.
Oh.
Or we can tell the front desk that she's working.
Damn. Okay.
Wait, so we could just walk right in?
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Have
I really not mentioned that my mom is the CEO of this company?
No, I feel like
she's never at home. She's always here.
That's not something I would have forgotten.
She works all the time. We would have
remembered this.
Sorry.
I think we get, like, 5 different panels of Puck telling you guys that his mom is the CEO of Callaway.
And we just forgot. Yeah, I've definitely mentioned this a whole bunch.
Yeah, like... Frequency going, like, I really need, like, a better generator for this whole system. And Puck going, oh, my mom works at Callaway. I could probably set you up.
Yeah. Sokotoa was like, I could use an internship.
my mom is the CEO of Callaway. There's a text message showing when they infiltrated Callaway a previous time. that says like infiltrating Callaway, let us know if you need anything, and then it has like 4 unread messages from Buck.
Yeah.
The person at the front does not recognize you, but you've got your guest pass. Unless you, are you there like all the time?
No, almost never goes.
Yeah, so like they put you into the computer and they're like, oh, and when you go up to the front, the receptionist there does not recognize you, but scans it through and goes, oh, I'm sorry, John. Wow, you've grown so much since you were last here. New haircut? And kind of like tries to brush it under the rug that she didn't recognize him.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, that's probably why. That's
yeah, so she's up in a meeting right now, but you could totally head up there and sit down.
Office, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, bye. And one of the security guards comes up and goes like, who was that guy? She's like, someone's kid, and goes back to type in.
So we get in the elevator and John is like, so where are we really going?
That's what I was about to ask. Well, so it seems like most of their stockpiling stuff is actually down in the lower sublevels.
Yes. So we're going there.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you reroute the elevator?
Done.
So smooth.
Yeah. So the numbers are going ding, 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 and we see someone like up on like a high level floor waiting for it. And it dings.
And the arrow shifts.
And then,
dong, 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 dong.
This is a big corporation, which as we know in comic book terms, means shady stuff is going on.
Only
but I don't
stuff.
Think you're coming in on like a shady level, right? And it might be all good stuff. But you are out, like, it opens up into a hallway that has a bunch of labs off of it. Down one of the hallways is, like, a storage room that is where it probably is located. It's nearby the rest of the labs, so there's some science-y people walking around, some lab tech, stuff like that.
I'm going to make sure that my hoodie is hella up.
Okay.
Which isn't helping the situation, probably. But I'm just walking like I know where I'm going and... that we totally deserve to be there. We have a guest pass.
Yeah. We have a guest pass. That means we get to go into the inventory room.
Duh.
Oh, okay. Are we just walking in?
Yeah, it's a big company. People, it's whatever.
People don't pay attention.
And I think with that people don't pay attention line, we get a couple of panels of you like walking by increasingly weird stuff. Like there's like a big like weird sea monster floating in a big vat of water, and there's someone like shooting electricity with their hands at the wall, and like, you know, just the visual gag of you not noticing it.
Yeah
okay.
And then we get one last panel that shows just has like a little like throwaway comic thing that it has Calavera there, who's from a different comic run, just like trying to not have bones sticking out of them. And then you're down at the end of the hallway where there is the big storage room door and a security pass that you need to slide.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my pass is probably not going to get us through this door.
You can do this, right?
Yeah, sure. Can I see your pass real quick? And I'm going to try and recode the pass so that it does work.
Nice. Cool. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Oh, I was afraid you would say that. Oh, no. Oh.
Guys, I got a 3.
You got a 3.
My potential. With nothing?
I got a 3.
Oh.
So you mark potential.
Yeah, I get an advancement. So oh, I'm you get cool an advance.
So I think, yeah, so we see, oh, this is a cool visual. We see Frequency like putting the card between two of his fingers and just sliding his fingers along it.
Oh, I like that. That's cool.
And then swipes it, and it there's like a little second where all of you can feel tense, and then bing, and it opens right up.
Oh no!
I have a bad feeling about this. Can everybody just stand here a second? Don't go in there yet. I'm going to take the drone out of my pocket.
Okay.
And send the drone in the room first.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you've got like a little wrist thing that has a little visual
camera thing.
And so you definitely take it out. It goes like, and it like wobbles in the air for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and then goes into the room. It's a bigger room than you would have expected.
Mm-hmm.
Not in like a Doctor Who way, just in a, oh, this is a large storage room. Inside, you can see that there's just huge stacks of stuff, like whole big warehouse set up, everything organized, but just massive amounts of everything. As the drone is looking around, you know more or less what you're looking for, but you start to realize you're not going to be able to just step inside, pick it off a shelf, and know exactly where it is. This is a space that's big enough that if you are all together, you can't monitor the space as a whole.
So I'm going to just kind of float it around looking at the shelves and just getting like a general scope of what we're dealing with. And
I'll also remind you, you are three kids in civilian clothing that are obviously kid height.
Yeah.
Standing at the end of a hallway in a very secret, near a bunch of very secret labs. I'm 18.
Okay.
No one's going to remember that I'm here anyway.
That's true.
Frequency's fucked.
Okay. So is it clear? Can we go in?
I mean, is there anyone in there?
Not as far as you can tell.
Can I assess the situation?
Sure.
Am I still capable of assessing the situation?
Yes. The only thing you can't do is unleashing your powers.
I got three.
So. Okay.
Mark potential.
Yeah.
So you are... You are like looking around and paying a lot of attention to the device on your arm, and you hear down the hallway, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And we get a panel that shows. So he's a young guy, probably about Penance's age. Mm. He doesn't go to your school. You don't recognize mm-hmm. him, but he is also in like official Callaway Corporation. He's got an official Callaway Corporation windbreaker on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got like a bag slung over his shoulder and has the ID badge and everything and goes, "You're not supposed to be down here."
He's my age?
Yeah.
Can I try to flirt with him?
Absolutely. Yeah. He starts heading down the hallway towards you. And he's like, he doesn't look super imposing or anything like that. He looks like he could be just like a kid at your school. He's a Latino guy with kind of shave, not quite shave, but like really close cropped hair.
Mm-hmm.
His badge says Jorge Torres.
Okay. Oh my God, Jorge. And I'm going to take down my hood and try to like straighten my hair for a second. I'm so glad I ran into you. I left my badge at home.
And... go ahead and roll to... So what are you trying to get him to do?
I'm trying to make him think that I am also an intern and I just left my shit at home.
Okay. Roll to provoke.
It's a 5.
So his eyes narrow and he goes, "You don't work here. I'm calling security." And at that moment, there is just a hail of sparks inside the warehouse because Sherry has arrived and she's in her like mist form and just comes in through the wall, and any technology she goes through is just like exploding all around her. And she sees the four of you standing in the doorway and just like goes, "Shit," and comes into her human form and starts running into the warehouse.
I'm gonna run after her.
How about you two?
I'm going to charge my burn.
Okay.
This is awkward. This is awkward.
Now, also, interestingly enough, does Sage know that Puck does magic?
Yes. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
We've done magic together.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
John is probably very confused why this time he's the one charging powers and she's the one running into danger.
Yeah, I'm also running in, so I'm just like... John, take care of this.
Okay, so John would step into the room and around the corner.
Okay.
And then put his mask on.
Okay.
He wouldn't put his mask on in front of this person.
Okay, cool.
And then charge, like, next to the door.
Go ahead and roll plus conditions marked, I think.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be easy. I think you literally can't fail right now. But don't roll a 7 to 9.
6, 7 plus 5.
12?
Yeah.
12 with a 7 on the dice.
So okay, how does that work?
Okay, so you hold 3 burn. So yeah, so we get a panel that shows Puck, like, that shows Puck and Jorge going in opposite directions to duck behind a thing and pull on masks. And then Puck has, like, the black energy coming all around him. So we see Jorge turn around the corner and pull on his mask as well, and he becomes Calavera, who is a female-presenting and female-identified hero. Has, like, one of those tight bodysuit-style Spider-Man things and is quickly, like, getting undressed from the regular lab clothes and definitely looks and totally presents female. And she has a... she has a mask that has, like, the sugar skull motif and has, like, a skeleton-y thing going on and now has big, sharp bones coming out of her hands. And she, like, turns around, like, runs into the big warehouse and just calls out, like, "Stop, thief!" Puck is presumably not there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so now we're in the warehouse. Frequency, what you were running after Penance, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, Sage and Frequency, you're running in the warehouse, and Sherry is running ahead of you. What do you do?
I'm going to try to fly the drone at the same time as I'm running.
Okay.
And, like, head her off.
Okay,
like, cool. Make her stop.
All right. Go ahead and roll to act with desperation.
I don't want to. Can I use somebody else's dice?
Yes, you can.
These are bad.
So as the depowered, you've lost Unleash Your Powers and now have Act with Desperation, which is rolled flat,
mm-hmm.
And it has slightly different results.
7.
So what'd you roll? 7. Okay. So in a 7 to 9, you can mark a condition, or I'll tell you how it's unstable or temporary, I think.
You manage it, but just barely mark a condition, or it's unstable or temporary. Yes.
Cool.
I'm going to mark a condition.
Okay.
I'm going to mark angry.
Okay.
This fucking sucks not having my powers.
Yeah.
And I'm mad about it. I could have stopped her so easily.
Yeah.
If I had my powers.
So you're like rapidly typing on your arm and trying to get this thing. And we definitely get a scene that shows it like buzzing in the wrong direction and then coming down and swinging down to be in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a moment where it looks like where her body starts to just turn into the mist. And then she stops and starts to just dart down one of the different hallways of the warehouse. But it's a dead end. It's just like there's stuff on each side, big racks of God only knows what chemicals.
So she's trapped.
She's got her back against the wall for now. And Frequency and Sage are both there.
Whatever you're doing, you don't have to do it. Just calm down and talk to us. We're here to help.
Oh my God, this is ridiculous. I beat Centurion and Striped Eagle earlier today. You really think that you're going to be able to stop me? And you can see her hands are turning into green mist.
Listen, I don't want to fight with you. I would like to talk to you.
Go ahead and roll to provoke. She's more susceptible to words than she would like to admit.
Yeah, so it's a 7.
It's a 7. Okay. On a 7 to 9, they raise to the bait, or they can stumble. You take +1 forward against them. They err. You gain a critical opportunity, or they overreact. You gain influence over them. So I think that she is going to... She has a moment that it looks like she's about to attack you, and then she hesitates. And she starts to... She just, like, starts moving towards you, and then suddenly turns... And without changing into her mist form, she starts trying to, like, squeeze between things in the rack to get out into the warehouse. But it's slower going. Like, she's not darting at the same speed.
Mm.
So you could catch up to her. You have a critical opportunity.
Yeah, I'm going to run up and try to grab, like, an arm or a leg or something and keep her from going through the
okay.
thing.
All right, so we see...
I know. Oh, I know.
We see Penance, we see Sage grab onto her arm. And the arm starts to turn to mist, and there's green smoke coming up from your hand.
Ow, fuck.
Puck.
Yeah.
What are you up to?
I think that what I would do would be to try to get onto the other side, because I'm far enough behind that I can see her start to move.
And you have super speed also.
And so I would try to get to the other side of the whatever shelving rack that she's trying to sneak through.
Yeah.
So she's got Sage grabbing her on one side, and then Puck is on the other side.
Okay, cool. I think you are fast enough to do that. However, also pretty quick is Calavera.
Yeah.
So you get into position over there standing in the warehouse, and you just hear like hands suddenly slapping the ground, and we get a panel that just shows her like jumping in the air, feet forward towards you, ready to just like kick you hard. What do you do?
I guess I'm trying to get out of the way.
Okay.
I'm not trying to engage with this person. So okay.
Go ahead and roll combat to unleash your power. Oh, yes. You are in combat right now. So we should have a team move.
Okay.
Oopsies. All right. I think we've been saying a couple times the frequency is the leader.
Yeah, totally.
Said that a few times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Frequency. Do you have influence over everybody?
No, I do not.
You don't have influence over me?
No.
Can I just give it to him? Because he should have influence over
yeah.
me. Yeah, you totally do.
Yeah, I'll allow it. You can give influence over you to anybody at any time.
I should have done that when I lost my powers and he was helping me study.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What is your purpose in the fight, Frequency?
Figuring out why this person is stealing these things to make this compound.
Okay. Is your purpose also that, team members?
Stop her from stealing the things.
Okay, so you do not get a point for that. And Puck, just out of curiosity.
Probably more like Sages.
More like Sages, okay. Does any member of the team distrust the team, mistrust the leader or the team?
Nah.
Not really.
Okay.
I don't distrust Puck. He just pisses me off.
Okay.
Puck is starting to mistrust Sage because he feels like there's something she's not telling him.
Yeah.
But it's not like a full-on mistrust yet.
Okay. I don't know that you're ill-prepared or off-balance. I mean, suddenly having an additional threat to deal with is a little bit of that, but you are also a superhero team that came here to handle a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I think this doesn't necessarily apply. So that added 3. You start at 1. You are at 4 team right now.
Okay, so Puck is catching Puck her is, on the other side.
So Puck, I think that sounds like unleashing your powers if you're trying to avoid a strike using your powers.
Yeah. Okay, so plus freak, 9.
Okay, cool. So do you want to mark a condition, or I'll tell you how it's unstable or temporary?
It can be unstable or temporary.
Okay.
I can't mark another condition, so.
Yeah, that's true. So how do you dodge her attack?
I think that Puck would jump up onto one of the containers. Like, it was she was leaping at me.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, you could leap, you could, like, duck and leap onto something to be out of her reach.
I think that he would.
You can probably jump higher than her.
I think what he would do is actually turn, see that she's leaping at him, mm-hmm. and run toward her and like slide
nice
under. So they basically like switch locations.
Okay, cool. So you slide under her and just like we get that panel of her like trying to reach down and jabbing the floor a couple of times with big bone knives.
Mm-hmm.
And then like taking on the hero stance, and behind her immediately Sherry is starting to pull herself through and like is in a position that she will be on Calavera in a second. I don't know if you know her at all. She is just there. Frequency, what are you up to?
So I am going to all of a sudden call out. We don't know this person's name. I don't think John shared it with us, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Also, wait. Oh, the
Sherry Waters.
Sherry Waters.
No. Yeah. No.
I don't think we actually know her.
No, I don't think so either.
Okay. I described knowing a house, but I forgot.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't. I'm standing at like behind Sage because Sage ran a bit ahead.
Yeah.
But I'm standing there tossing this little container up and down.
Okay.
Saying, "We've already got what you're looking for. If you want this stabilizing agent, you've got to at least talk with us."
All right, go ahead. Are you misleading, distracting, or tricking?
I am, because it's a hologram. It's not actually a thing.
I thought that might be.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's when I mislead, distract, or trick someone, I can roll plus superior.
Sounds good.
That's a 13.
Oh, that's very superior.
So on a hit, they are fooled, at least for a moment. And on a 10 plus, I can choose 3 of these from this list.
Oh my gosh.
I am going to, for now, avoid further entanglement.
Nice.
I'm going to confuse them for some time and expose a weakness or flaw.
Okay. So she lets go of Penance's arm and kind of like darts back, like turns around quickly and like sort of looks like she's going to try to jump right through Sage. And then just stops and like puts her hands up and says, okay, okay, listen, I'll talk. This is important. Okay. Just, can you just be cool? And she starts like coming out of the racks of
like
stuff.
The racks, yeah.
So Calavera is standing facing you and she looks over at Sherry, who is now like has hands up and is surrendering. Hey, what's going on?
And Puck would be like, stealing is never cool.
Calavera kind of slumps a little bit and goes, hi, sorry. Were you all here to stop that?
Pretty much.
Cool. I'm Calavera. See you later. And she kind of just gets ready to try to like slink away and then just jump into something to get out of sight.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, nice meeting you.
Yeah. At this point, Sherry is standing there and has probably Calavera would not just like run off, but she's like seeing that this done. Is she's not fighting you anymore. She's pulling back and looking just very embarrassed and awkward. Sherry like steps forward and she doesn't come close enough that's like threatening, and she just says, look, this is a really big company. They've got insurance. Give me the agent. I just need the agent. And we're good, right? No one needs to get hurt.
Well, you weren't acting like that at the hospital.
Lots of people got hurt.
And what about those people in that house? Are you going to hurt those people in that house?
How do you know so much? She's looking at Puck with a look of confusion, concern, and you can see like her hands are up, but they're starting to mist a little bit. And she goes,
"No, no, 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 no. We're talking.
What do you need this for?
I need this. I hate heroes. I hate villains. I hate all this stupid stuff. I just want to go home. And if you give me that, I can go home and stop having problems, okay? Just need that to go home.
Do you know the people in the house? I have deep understanding.
What house are you talking about?
The house that clearly means something to you and that you're upset that we know about. There's people in that house.
Go ahead and roll to pierce her mask.
Eight.
Eight. Okay, cool. So you get to ask one.
What do you intend to do?
She intends to get the materials, make the cocktail out of it, and try to reunite with her family. She was unable to continue living with her family due to her mutation. And this is something that could make it easier for her to be around some people. So her plan is to get this stuff, go home, and be like, hey, I have this stuff. Maybe I won't burn you now, and see what they say.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So I'm going to try to walk slowly towards her and be like, I know what it's like to hurt the people you love with powers that you can't control.
And she goes like, oh shit, are you a mutant?
Yeah, it's a long story, but I mean, I left home for the same reasons.
We're supposed to be working together on this stuff.
I am. I'm talking to you. You're the one that wants to fight.
Yeah, you're the one throwing around that. Don't drop that.
Look, I get where you're coming from. And I mean, wanting to go be with family is something new to me, but I can understand where you're coming from. But what would happen when you ran out of this? You're just going to go hurt more people?
No, I mean, at that point, I'll figure out how to... I mean, maybe they could help me buy some. Is it expensive? I would have bought it if I could, but like, who's going to sell it to me?
This is just not a well thought out plan. And there's probably a better way to get you reunited with your family and not hurt them that doesn't involve hurting a lot of other people. We would love to try to help you if you would just calm down for a second and talk with us.
And I think that she kind of like slumps a little bit and nods and goes, "All right, so can I have it?"
I'm fine with that, but it's about two shelves back on your right.
And she turns around and starts like gives a little awkward shrug sort of thing and starts moving towards it. And Calavera goes, "Wait, no, she can't take that."
"I thought you left."
She was awkwardly hanging around in the background.
"Yeah, you can't just take it. There's got to be a better way to go about doing this. We can get your family some sort of help and support. We have a lot of connections."
Okay, so here's what I want to do now. Let's jump us forward to at the location of one of those helps and connections. I think you've more or less convinced her. And I think Calavera is willing to go with you to make sure that she doesn't get up to trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So where are the five of you going to try to find some resources?
I mean, I vote Lunar Lens just because she has a good way of adding perspective to things kids don't usually think about in their selfish moments. And we all have a tie to her.
It's probably where I would go.
Okay.
Sure.
So we're back in Lunar Lens's office. I think her office is not big enough for this many people. So Calavera is like leaning up against one of the walls kind of in the back. I think Sherry is sitting in the seat immediately across from the desk. And how are the three of you tabloed?
John is definitely sitting on top of that bookshelf again.
Nice.
I'm standing in front of the door.
Okay.
I'm leaning up against... So Ben's leaning up against Lunar Lens's desk.
Okay.
But like off to the side. I'm picturing it's bigger.
Yeah.
So he's like off to the side, but almost in like a mediator position.
Yeah.
Between the two.
And I think Lunar Lens is saying, "I understand exactly why you would be interested in pursuing these things, but I also agree that this has not been the correct way to do it. There are Protean City grants that you can take advantage of." And then she pauses for a moment and reaches into a desk, like into her desk, and pulls out a flyer. And she says, "And this is something that recently came across my desk. I haven't been bringing it to the kids here because no one currently has powers that are so dangerous that they need suppression of them." And she slides it across the desk, and it has the appointed symbol, like really obviously up at the top of it. "The powers that we have are not the things that make us unique and beautiful and human. Who we are is what makes us unique and beautiful and human. These people might be able to help you."
"No."
"Lens, I don't think that's what you think it is."
I know it's controversial, and I can understand why you might have some hesitation, Sage. But this is a group that I've seen a result from. They were able to take away a harmful mutation. And in this day and age, with everything that's going on in these very specific days, that's terrifying on a lot of levels, but it's also a way for somebody who could not live a safe life to live a safe life." And she definitely gives like all three of you very different significant, like it's the same significant look, but like with a very different meaning for each of you, because needless to say, this applies to all three of your business.
John would summon a little fairy
and
just toss it down to grab the pamphlet and tear it to pieces.
Yep. Yeah, the fairy just...
"No, those people are criminals. They attacked the city. They're bad people.
And they really hurt one of our friends."
And there's definitely like a moment that looks like Lunar Lens is about to just throw down with you. Because you're not like not physically superhero fight you, but like, you know, slam hands on table and everything
fight
like
me
that.
Fight
me real life. She stands up and looks down at the paper. And like, there's definitely still the piece of paper that has the symbol because of course it's a comic book. And she says, "Then we'll find a different solution. But I think the three of you are going to explain to me why it is that you're so worried about this church.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Penance is played by me, Elsbeth Dudman, and I can be found on Twitter at The Cat on the Wall. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at And the Meltdowns. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.